Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Ayin, Ayin Aleph and Ksuvos. We begin the seventh parak of the Masechta today. We're in Ayin Amud Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as well as Zichron Nishmas, Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Big topic of this parak in the seventh parak is Nedarim. It's one of the reasons why the next Masechta we're going to see, the very next one is Nedarim. Okay, maybe. When in the relationship between a husband and a wife, so one of the rights responsibilities that a husband has is that if his wife makes a neder, so he has the right responsibility ability to be made for the neder to annul the neder. One of two things can happen: either he could be the one making the neder, or she could be the one making the neder, and then he is either going to annul the neder or he's going to sustain it by not saying anything. The Mishnah. Let's go through the Mishnah. Mishnah is, deals with three different scenarios. Number one, says the Mishnah, Amadir Zishto Melahanos Lo. So let's say that a man makes neder against his husband. Against his wife, and he says that my wife is not going to get any benefit from me. So what are we talking about over here? Let's take a look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Rashi says, Einan Hanas Tashmisho Nesar Aleha. We're not talking about Tashmisho Mita. We're not talking about intimacy between the husband and wife, to Amishubadlah. Because, as we know, the husband's responsibility is to be with his wife. And so that's a shibud. He can't make a neder on something that he has a shibud on. Meaning that's already an obligation that he has to her. And that's something that that he has no right to aser. So Hilkach Bishvil Tashmish Ein Lanu Lechofa Lahotzi V'Litein Ksuva. So obviously what the Mishnah is going to talk about now is the forcing of a divorce and the giving of Ksuva. It's not, we're not talking about Tashmish Amita. So if we're not talking about Tashmish Amita, what are we talking about? So Rashi says, Hanas Mizonos. We're talking rather about Hanas Mizonos, meaning that we know that the husband has an obligation to feed his wife. And despite the fact that a husband has an obligation to feed his wife, he makes a neder and he says that my food is going to be prohibited to her. So what does the Mishnah say? So ad lamed yom yamid parnas. So up until 30 days, what he can do is he can appoint a parnas, a intermediary, a middleman, to support his wife. Yesamikan yosiv itein ksuva. But anything longer than a month, so he has to divorce his wife. Okay, Adkan, that's the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah is very difficult to understand for a host of reasons. I'll just raise some of the basic issues, which we're going to be discussing in the Gemara, and then we'll get to the Gemara, we'll discuss these issues. But the Mishnah is very difficult. Number one, Rashi says that can't be talking about Tashmish Amita, because that's something he's obligated to her, and he can't forbid Tashmish Amita to her. He's also obligated to feed her. Meaning, we know, it's we've been discussing it now in the fourth parak, the fifth parak of the Masechta, and that is that a husband has a basic obligation to feed his wife. So he can't offer his food to his wife. That's also against an obligation that he has. So what are we talking about where the Mishnah...
Huh? He has a not with the Mizonos.
Well, okay, good. Right? Good. Well, that's part of the answer. Good, right. Good. So he can't... He's not allowed to not feed her. So how can such a neder be sustainable? So that's question number one. The Gemara is going to ask that question. That we're going to be dealing with when we get to the Gemara. Another basic issue, which I'll just raise right now, and when we get to the Gemara, we're going to see it inside, what's the temporary solution? Well, the long-term solution is that they may have to get a divorce. But the temporary solution, says the Mishnah, is that you'll get somebody who's going to feed and support her. An intermediary, or as otherwise known in halacha as a shliach. So again, just raising a very basic issue. So he can't feed her, but the shliach can. We have a general rule, shlucha shel adam kamotzo, that when you appoint somebody as acting as an intermediary, so he's you. We hear that shlichus, it's agency. So when I give somebody a proxy vote, so what does that mean? It means that I have a right to vote, but you become me, and you're going to vote on my behalf. So in general, by shlichus, I can't feed you, but I'm going to give an agent's going to feed you. It's the same thing. Shlucha shel adam kamotzo. It's really no different than me feeding you. So how do you understand the temporary solution of appointing a parnas? Stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to discuss that as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, going back to the Mishnah now, continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Yisrael Chodesh Echad Yikayim U'Shnayim Yotzi. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the husband is the Yisrael, so then agreement with the Tanakhama. In fact, the Gemara later on is going to say, Rabbi Yehuda is not stating anything new over here, he's just reiterating what the Tanakhama said. Fine. V'Yitein Ksuva, big Kohen, however. If the husband's a Kohen, so now the husband being a Kohen, this obviously is, divorce is always serious, I mean, it goes without saying, but now for a Kohen it's even more serious. Why is it more serious? Because unlike Yisrael divorces his wife, so there's a second chance. In other words, as long as she doesn't marry another man, so he can take her back. However, a Kohen divorces his wife, that's it. It's the end of the relationship. It's a permanent end to the relationship. right? Any kohen that gets a divorce, we're going to be discussing this throughout Shas. Right now we're discussing it, and that is any kohen that gets the divorce, and realizing that he can never take her back. So obviously we do everything within our power to try to make sure that this is really a unsalvageable marriage. So so for the kohen, shnayim yikayim u'shloshi yotzi v'yitein k'suva. So an extra month is given. So they give the kohen some extra chances to think about, consider. Maybe there is a chance that he can try to work it out together with his wife.
Okay. They get angry faster too, so they can.
That's another issue the Gemara says elsewhere, and the whole process of divorce for a kohen is a longer process than that for Yisroel. We'll talk more about that when we get to Masechta Gittin. Okay. Section number two of the Mishnah. There are three sections of the Mishnah. Section number two. Amad yisisha shalot titam echa mikol peres. So let's say there's a neder that is his wife is going to swear off oranges. Okay, I'm using oranges as an example. It could be any fruit. I don't know why I'm picking on oranges. We live in Florida. It's unfair. But anyway, she's swearing off oranges. Interesting, by the way. I'll show you Tosus later this morning on Ayin Aleph. Tosus says it can't be talking about all fruit. Can't be. Toso says it's, the general rule by Nedarim. You can't make an untenable Neder. Now, you could say the words, but it doesn't mean anything. So, for example, I say, I'm not going to sleep for the next 3 days, and I make a Neder. I'm not going to sleep for the next 3 days. It's something which is impossible, and therefore the Neder is not even Chal. There's no effect whatsoever to the Neder. If Toso says it's the same thing if you swear off all fruit. You can't live without all fruit. Now, I know we could argue the point, but... But you can't do it. In other words, fruit is such a basic necessity to life. So we're not talking about all fruit. We're only talking about one species of fruit. So that's why, right, this morning I'm picking on oranges. So Amad Yisisha Shalotita Mecha Mikol Peros. So the Neder Ish, he's not going to eat any fruit. Yotzi V'tein K'suva. So once again, the Mishnah says immediately it's grounds for divorce. So it's a untenable situation. Now I know, it only begs the question, it's such an untenable situation, she's not going to eat oranges, apples are good, grapes are good. So okay, so we'll have to discuss this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yisrael Yomecha, Yikayim Shnayim Yotzi V'tein K'suva. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's the husband's Yisrael, so then Yomechad Yikayim, but if it's Shnayim, but if it's already 2 days, so Yotzi V'tein K'suva, once again, that becomes totally unbearable, and a divorce, and he has to pay her K'suva. Now, you'll notice, by the way, I'm sorry, Uve Kohen, Shnayim Yikayim, Ushloshi Yotzi V'tein K'suva. Okay, sorry. And by a Kohen, two days, you're Mikayim, you basically hold on with hope that maybe they'll figure out a way out of this neder, but already by three, Yotzi V'tein K'suva. Okay. You notice in these first two cases of the Mishnah, the first two sections of the Mishnah, so the conclusion was is that this marriage is an untenable marriage, it's unbearable, right? Either because he's not feeding her or because she's not eating fruit, whatever the case is. And what does the Mishnah say in both of these cases? Or obviously an unbearable marriage is going to have to dissolve. And then both of these cases, the Mishnah says, and he's going to pay her k'suva. Now what does that mean, he's going to pay her k'suva? Think about it. Despite the fact, I could have made this point earlier, but okay, I'm making it now. Despite the fact that she's the one who made the neder, ostensibly, she's the one who made the neder, but nevertheless, the dissolvement of the marriage, she does not forfeit her ksuva. She's still going to get a ksuva. Now, if you think about it, now we never like assigning blame, but if she's the one who made the neder, so that means that the reason why this marriage got dissolved is because of her. So why is she not forfeiting her ksuva? Shouldn't she be forfeiting her ksuva? So stay tuned, because we're going to be discussing that as well. Okay, good. So good. So stay with me, because we're going to... I know the Gemara is going to discuss more of that point. I'm just raising it right now.
24-hour period, sunrise to sunrise, sunset to sunset.
Generally speaking, by how far is the Dharma, it's 24 hours. Generally speaking. If I remember correctly, that's a machlokus, but I'm telling you the accepted halacha. Hamad yosisha shol tiskashet be'echa mikol aminim. Let's say the neder here, the third section of the Mishnah, the wife makes a neder, who is the one who made the neder? We're going to be discussing more of that in the Gemara. But right now, the neder, she's not going to put on makeup. Makeup, jewelry, various types of adornments. So... Yotzi v'itein k'suva. So once again, it's an unbearable relationship, and therefore it's going to result in a divorce, and he's going to have to give her k'suva as well. Rav Yossi Yom, Rabbi Anios, Shalom Nasan Kitzva, Bashir Shloshim Yom. And at this point, Rav Yossi says, well, it depends whether or not how wealthy she was or how impoverished they are. We're talking about an impoverished family, where for them, putting on makeup is not a daily occurrence, putting on perfume is not a daily occurrence, it's just, you know, on special occasions. So there, the neder is only grounds for divorce if it's an indefinite neder against putting on jewelry. However, for wealthier women who are more used to putting on jewelry and makeup and cosmetics, so then Shloshim Yom, then 30 days is already considered unbearable because she's wealthier and she's used to putting on more frequently. Okay, so Rav Yossi just simply says, basically, same basic idea, no real disagreement, but Rav Yossi says it just depends on how used to or not used to she's putting on makeup, and that's going to create the terms of how long this situation is sustainable. Okay. Three different cases in the Mishnah. First one's food, second one is fruit, and third one is perfume. In all these cases, it creates an unbearable marriage, and so therefore, the Mishnah says they're going to get a divorce. Now, the Mishnah does not talk, I'll just make this point very quickly. The Mishnah doesn't talk about who is the one responsible for making sure that divorce occurs. Meaning, the Mishnah just simply says, Yotzi, he is to release her, v'yitein k'suva, and perik k'suva. And what does that mean? Does Basin get involved? Does Basin do, what kind of coercion are we talking about in terms of the forcing of a divorce? So, second Tosus on the perik, right? Tosus divrei maskal yotzi v'yitein k'suva. So Tosus, it's a lengthier Tosus. Tosus says, in a nutshell, Basin's going to get involved. Based on get involved, then it's an unbearable marriage, it's an unbearable relationship. They're living together, but in an untenable fashion. So Basin's going to get involved, and Basin's going to force Osman to give her a divorce. Okay, in a nutshell, that's what Tosus says. You can see Tosus inside. He goes into a little more detail than the way I just described it, but it's a point, obviously, it's an important point to make.
Even if she doesn't want it? I mean, what would she's happy with it?
Right. I hear your point. The Mishnah is making assumptions over here in terms of what's bearable and what's unbearable. And you're right. The Mishnah is assuming it's an unbearable relationship. Okay. We'll start with the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Ayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara starts off with a really basic point. V'kevan demishubala hechmati madyala. Kol kamine demafkile lishibude. So the Gemara says we know a husband is obligated to support his wife. It's one of the basic Torah obligations that a husband has to his wife, and that is he's got to feed her. And because of that, he has a shibud, he has an obligation, he has a responsibility, and because of that, can't make a neder prohibiting something that he's obligated to do. And now, for the, I don't know, third, fourth time in the Masechta, we learn a Mishnah together. We've seen this Mishnah a lot. Konim sheni osa laficha. If he says that the food that I have is going to be forbidden to you, he doesn't have to, or she makes a neder, whichever case, that I'm not going to eat your food, there's no need for the husband to annul the vow. It's simply not an effective vow. The vow does not take effect. He has an obligation to feed her, and therefore, hafara, no hafara, simply not necessary because the vow never took effect. So Alma, can you just give me a moment? Alma came into Meshab Dalei, he's obligated to feed her, lav kol kamine, demafke leli shibude. So a neder cannot break that shibud. So Achinami came into Meshab La, lav kol kamine, demafke leli shibude. So if he has an obligation to feed her, so how can a neder take effect on something that he's obligated to do? Yeah.
This case of that the guy is making neder is not going to benefit from his wife. But didn't Rabbi Kiva said that?
Rabbi Kiva argued on this.
More than that. Yeah.
Rabbi Kiva argued on this point, so we'll come back to that. But right now the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says he can't make an neder. So how is our Mishnah talking about he should be made for, he wasn't made for, he has to divorce, he gets her ksuva, the neder should never have chalos, it should never take effect.
Why didn't they use the language masna mashikosavata? Usually use that language in
it. Right, but it's more than, because masa masha kosba Torah just simply means that the Torah tells me to do this and I want to redirect. Here I'm making a neder against that which the Torah says. So it's a little bit more than that, meaning you're also adding an element of Isser on top of that. Okay, so Ella, Okay, so here we go. So the Gemara starts off with the following. We know that the husband is obligated to feed his wife. We also know, we've seen this earlier as well, that in a quid pro quo, in an exchange, he feeds her and her earnings go to him. And we also know, we've seen this already a number of times back in the Masechta, we get to review this point again right now, is that the exchange, the marriage can be negotiated in the beginning, and that in the exchange of your earnings for my food, so she can say to him, you know what, or he could say to her, I get to keep my food, you keep your earnings. Okay, in other words, we'll have a marriage, the marriage will be wonderful, we'll live, you know, up until 120 years, but the way this marriage is going to work is, you'll work, you'll earn, you'll keep your earnings, and I'll keep my food. Good. So now, once that's so, now the neder is chal. So the Gemara says, mitoch sheyachol lomar la, si masi yadecha memazon asecha, nase, top of line, I'm in base, ka omer la, si masi yadecha memazon asecha. So it's as if, by making the neder, it's as if he's saying, you keep your earnings and I'll keep my food. So the Gemara says, v'im isala ha'da rav huna amarav, da'am rav huna, So the Gemara says, well, it was just 1 second. Meaning, we also know that the wife can make a similar negotiation with her husband. The wife can say, look, Baruch Hashem, I make a good living. I'll tell you what. Your food, you can hang on to your food. My earnings, I'll hang on to my earnings. And we learned earlier, according to Rav Huna Merav, a woman has every right to do that. And konim shani osa laficha, amai einu tzarech lahafir. So the Gemara says, now think about it. She, in the case where she made the neder, I mean, there are two different cases we're discussing, both resulting in the same. One is our Mishnah, where he's the one who made the neder, and the other one is where she made the neder. Now, in the case where she made the neder, what did we just learn together from that Mishnah that we've gone over now a number of times in the Masechta? That he doesn't have to annul it. So, why not? Lema, mitok sheyachol lomar, eini nezon zveinu oseh. Since we know that the wife has a right to say, you keep your food and I'll keep my earnings, nase kemisha omer slo eini nezon zveinu oseh. By virtue of the fact that she has the right to say that, and she made a neder, can't we make the argument, basically it's the same argument, by virtue of her making a neder, it's as if she's saying, you know what, I know you have an obligation to feed me, but I'm going to make a neder. Your food will be usher to me, which in effect is saying, I'll keep my earnings and you keep your food. Now, we don't say that. Meaning the Mishnah says he doesn't have to annul it because he's obligated to feed her. But can't we assign that the neder actually means that she wants to keep her earnings and she wants him to keep his food? So the Gemara says, you're right. So here's what we'll do. We're not going to make a major change in our thinking. We're not assuming he said it. The husband actually said to his wife, here we go. Generally speaking, I'm obligated to feed you and you're obligated to give me your earnings. Let's quit the exchange. You keep your earnings, I'll keep my food. And now that we're here, I'm going to make an neder. And I'm going to tell you that my food is going to be offered to you. So good. So yachi parnas lamali. So the Gemara lamala. So Gemara says, really interesting. So we're describing our Mishnah now in a scenario in which he makes his food asa to her, and step one, he breaks the exchange. My food, I'll keep. Your earnings, you keep. Step two, my food will become asa to you. Good. That's the case of the Mishnah. So again, without exploring any deeper, just going to the next line of the Mishnah, so why is there a parnas? In other words, she gets to keep her earnings. So that means now, she'll have money and she'll buy food. So why is there a parnas? So, but the low safka.
What about escape clause?
Just give me a moment. But the low safka. So the Gemara says, well, her earnings are not enough. So, but the low safka had a kushal duchta. Really, so her earnings are not enough to feed her. So that means now that he has an obligation to feed her. So how did you help the cause? Meaning all we're trying to do right now is come up with a scenario in the Mishnah where he can make a neder. At this point in time, we're arguing that he broke the exchange, he doesn't have to feed her, she gets to keep her earnings, but now we're describing the same in the Mishnah where her earnings are not enough to feed her, so now he has to supplement. Well, if he has to supplement, back to square one. Well, if he has to supplement, that's an obligation. And now he can't make a neder against that. I'm Rav Ashi ben Misapekes Ledvarim Gedolim, Veda Misapekes Ledvarim Ketanim. food and water that she can afford with her meager earnings. But beyond that, in other words, bread, water, the basics she can handle. But anything beyond that, dvarim ketanim. The Gemara doesn't explain what dvarim ketanim are.
Excellent.
Right, correct. But some of the finer things in life. So dessert. So dvarim ketanim. Hani dvarim ketanim hechidam. The Gemara says, wait a second. We're now making a distinction between the basics and the extras. So either regilabahu or harigilabahu. The Gemara says, look, like so many times in life, you know, something is extra if you're not used to it. So if it's something she's used to, so she's used to it, and therefore it's the husband's obligation to provide that. And if she's not used to it, so then the husband's not obligated, and why are we putting a parnas in there to help her with those extras? So the Gemara says, okay, lo tzricha dirigila bebei nasha v'kalga megalga behadei. Ah, they're very interesting. So the Gemara says, look, the extras in life where when she was living at her home with her parents, so Baruch Hashem, she had a slightly pampered existence over there by her parents' house. But she met this guy and she really likes him, but he's not wealthy. And she says, you know what, for this guy, it's worth it. In other words, I got to give up on some of the finer things in life. For this guy, it's great. The Amrle Adaina Dalo Adartan Gagalina Bahadach. And she says to the husband, look, before the neder, life was great. I understand I didn't get the finer things in life when I lived with my, like I lived with my parents. But look, living with you made up for it, right? Really a wonderful marriage. But hashada adartan, but now that we have this neder between you and I, and now you're not feeding me? So now I would like my life to be back where it once was, living with my parents. And now the finer things where, true, in the beginning of our marriage, I was able to do without, but you know what? I want them back. Okay, adkan. So that gets us now, granted, by the way, it is a complex path to get to where we're at right now. But all we're trying to figure out, really, is how can the husband make an neder about the food that he's obligated to give her? So right now the answer is that he broke the exchange between him and her. I'm not feeding you, and you get to keep your earnings. Plus, with her earnings, she's going to buy her own food. Plus, she was used to finer things in life, which she was ready to give up. Plus, now that they made a neder, so she's not ready to give up on those finer things in life. And now the husband is expected to provide for her those finer things in life. And as a result of that, he's going to appoint a parnas in order to provide that for her. Okay, granted, that is a circuitous route to get to where we're at right now. So now let's ask the obvious question. 30 days? Meaning, what did the Mishnah tell us? What, that will keep this situation going for 30 days. Why 30 days? Ad lamed yom lo shama be'in shei. Because for 30 days, you can keep this kind of thing under wraps. But v'lo zila b'milsa, and therefore she's not going to be embarrassed. But tfei, but after that point in time, shame ba'in shei, people are going to hear, v'zila b'milsa, and she's going to be embarrassed. And so therefore, you can sustain this kind of relationship for 30 days, but after that point in time, it is simply unsustainable, and that's why it's going to have to result in a divorce. Ad kan, that takes us through the first approach of our Mishnah. Yes? No. Stam neder, in other words, without specification, a neder goes on indefinitely. Nazirus is 30 days.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or Stam Nazirus is 30 days. But a neder without specification goes on indefinitely.
You don't have the Minhag HaMakom?
Not that I'm familiar with. Okay. Two. Okay, that takes us all to approach number one. Ibai, same with the Gemara, now takes us to approach number two. Shidira Kishu Arusa. So the Gemara says the neder was made during Erusin, and he had no financial obligation to her, and that's why the neder sticks. So the Gemara says neder during Erusin. Erusin mi isle mizone. The Gemara says okay, but he doesn't have to feed her. What are we talking about? So the Gemara says she igiazman v'lonisu didnan igiazman v'lonisu achos mishlav achos b'truma. So the Gemara says we're going to go to Mishnah Rishona. Everyone remember Mishnah Rishona? Mishnah Rishona tells us that we learned this on the first day of Ksuvos. That a year goes between Erusin and Nisuin. And he calls his wife and he says, look, I'm really sorry, I'm sick today. Right? And then he coughs. twice. And then he says, look, I'm really sorry. You know what? We'll get married tomorrow. You know what? Maybe next week. Okay. Granted, not the best start to a marriage. But the halacha goes like this. Because they were supposed to get married today, so his financial obligations begins today. That's Mishnah Rishona. And not only that, but if he's a Kohen, she gets to eat Truma. Good. So that's the description that we're talking about over here. Umayshnah Shloshim Yom. Good. That's our second pshat in the Mishnah. So then, if that's true, so then why 30 days? Shloshim Yom Avid Shliach Shlichusay Tfelo Avid Shliach Shlichusay. Because in terms of a parnas, we can expect a parnas to feed her for 30 days, but beyond that point in time, not expected to feed her. Okay. That's all pshat number two. Pshat number three by Semishidir Kishiyarusa Vinises. So the Gemara says, well, pshat number three is, he made a neder, or she made the neder. Not perfectly clear who was the one who made the neder. We'll talk more about that later. Either way, a neder was made while she was during Erusin, and they get married. The Gemara says they get married. Nisei Sasavra V'kibla. So the Gemara says, now, remember, what's a neder? Neder is I'm not feeding you. Now again, during Erusin, he's not obligated to feed her. And then what happens is, good. And then what happens is that while they are in the state of neder, they get married. Now, interesting. So they get married. Now, the neder already was chal. Now, it's interesting. Even though a married man is obligated, mina Torah, to feed his wife, but they're entering into this marriage already with a pre-existing neder. And that pre-existing neder is going to trump his obligation to feed her. Meaning, here's what the Gemara is assuming. After the marriage, while there's already an obligation, he can't make a neder to uproot that obligation. But going into a marriage where the neder was made before the obligation, the neder is going to trump the obligation to feed her.
When we look at the fact that he signed the ketubah as a nullification of his previous neder, he's accepting
nullification is a nullification. That's point number one. Point number two is that he only has 24 hours to do so. After 24 hours, he can't annul.
He's accepting on himself a new responsibility to feed her, having acknowledged that he has made the vow in the past that he's not going to do it. So in a way, it could be an nullification of the previous.
But again, even if you're right, I mean, let's assume you're right, but he can't do it after 24 hours. After 24 hours, he doesn't have the right to be mefer. Now, what he can do is he can go to a Beis Din, he can go to a Chacham, but he himself, he doesn't have that power. Okay? So the Gemara says, Hasavra v'kibla. So the Gemara says, okay, but they go into the marriage. Now, let's think about this. She knew what the marriage was going to be. It's one thing to enter into a marriage with certain expectations, and then those expectations change. And okay, that's very difficult. Not more than difficult, like our Mishnah said, that's unbearable. That results in a divorce. But if she goes into the marriage and she knows what the marriage is going to look like, so the Gemara says, doesn't that mean now that that's not grounds for divorce? So the Amra, the Gemara explains, Kisvur ani shani yochol lekabel achshav. I'm sorry, lekabel achshav ein ani yochol lekabel. So the Gemara says it happens to us all the time. You go into a situation, quote unquote, knowing what it's going to look like, but and you think he can handle it, but the truth of the matter is he can't handle it. And her not being fed by her husband, although she goes into the marriage knowing that that's the case, and she thinks she can handle it, but the truth of the matter is she can't handle it. Now the Gemara says, now that is a valid argument. But that's a valid argument when it comes to physical blemishes, where she knows a particular blemish exists with her husband, or he knows about a particular blemish that exists within her, and afalpi kain, they think love trumps all. Okay, don't listen to the fairy tales. They think love trumps all, and it turns out that it's too unbearable. So the Gemara says, but that's true when it comes to mumim. But here, we're talking about mizonos. The Gemara assumes mizon is something where it is something which is doable. So the Gemara does not like this last approach. The Gemara says you'll go with one of the first two approaches in terms of how to understand a Mishnah. Okay, so quickly let's summarize. That was a lengthy point to get to the basic understanding of our Mishnah. Again, The Mishnah is describing a scenario where there was a neder that he's not going to feed her. Question on the table, how can such a neder even be made? He's obligated to feed her. So answer number one, broke the exchange between his food and her earnings, and then he made the neder. That's I simplified approach number one. Approach number two, he made the neder during Erusin where he's not obligated to feed her, and then a year goes by and the obligation to feed her has begun, even though they're not actually married as of yet. Okay. No obligation to feed her during Erusin, which is why the neder can take effect. Okay. Those are your two approaches. The Gemara did give a third approach, but the Gemara did not like the third approach in terms of how to understand the Mishnah.
So what kind of neder is it? It doesn't have to feed. It can't make a neder on something. There's nothing there. What do I need a neder for?
You're making a neder on your food. In other words, the food that I have is going to be prohibited to my wife. Again, I don't
have to feed. I mean,
correct. And now we move on to the Gemara and we move on to the next basic issue. And that is that the Mishnah says that the temporary solution is going to be you'll get a middleman to feed her. Middleman, he's your shliach. So how does this work? So Amar Rav Huna, so here we go. Very interesting discussion coming up. What we're going to do is the following. This is such a legalism. But it goes like this. What the husband's going to say is as follows. Right now, there's a neder that his wife cannot eat his food. And he's going to not appoint a middleman, but he's going to suggest, you know, right now I'm living in a situation where my wife can't eat my food. I'll tell you what. Would someone please step forward and feed my wife, right? Hint, hint. And the double hint over there is indicating that the person who does it is not going to lose. I'll reimburse him. But so therefore, you're not appointing a shliach, you're just simply suggesting, it's almost like Amir La'akum. In fact, the reason why I bring that up is because the Gemara will as well. It's almost like Amir La'akum where I can't ask a guy to do something for me, but a hint, however, would be helpful. I'm not appointing him as an agent. The Gemara says, well, let's consider the following. Let's say someone's in a pit and he knows that the end is near. And he lets out a following instruction at the top of his voice. Anyone who hears my voice, I know it speaks in third person. Anyone who hears my voice should write a get to my wife. So if you happen to be on the hearing end of that instruction, so you do exactly as instructed. Now, he didn't appoint you, but nevertheless, you understand, he didn't appoint you because he didn't see you. Now, hachi hashta, hasam kama yichtov, the Gemara says, okay, but over there, do you know why that's a good appointment? Because the language that was employed was instructional language. The language was yichtov. You are instructed to write. Hachami kamar yizon kol azan kamar. The Gemara says, but over here, he's not instructing anyone to feed. He says, anyone who happens to feed my wife is not going to lose out. So the Gemara says, v'hamar rabbi ame b'dleikei tira lomar kol mechabe inu mafsid. So the Gemara says, yeah, let's go now to Masechta Shabbos. Where? Your house is on fire. And you say the following. Anyone who puts out the fire is not going to lose out. Kol mechabe inu mafsid. Where there, you're not giving instruction. And that's fine. Meaning, you can't tell. Now, obviously, you're not talking to another Jew. He also has to be Shomer Shabbos. You're talking to a non-Jew. Over there, you're not instructing him to put out the fire. You can't do that. That's Amir La'akam. That's prohibited. But over there, you can say, look, my house is on fire. I know you're not going to be this calm saying this, but my house is on fire. You know, if you happen to put out the fire, you know, you're not going to lose out. Okay? So, in of itself, that's fine. But read it carefully, as the Mishnah says, "Bedeleka hitiro." This heter is given in a very limited scenario, and that is in the case of the fire. So, lemute mai, lav lemute kol ki agavna. So the Gemara says, a special heter was given only to the person's house is on fire. Any other scenario, which is similar, where I'm not giving direct instruction, but my hint is pretty clear what I want, and I'm going to reimburse you, and that's shlichus. generally speaking. And the burning house on Shabbos is the exception to the rule. So the Gemara says, lo, lamote shari sturm to Shabbos. No. The reading of that Mishnah is a good reading. But it's not excluding every case of shlichus. It is only excluding the case of Shabbos. In other words, by other areas of Shabbos, you can't do that. The burning house on Shabbos, that you can do. And the reason why the Gemara on Shabbos says this a number of times is because Adam Ba'olam Mamono. Because if your house is on fire, understandably, we're all going to react and we're all pretty much going to overreact. If the Chachamim don't give us a couple of extra leniencies, we're all going to put out the fire. So by a burning house on Shabbos, fire is going through the house. So the Chachamim give us a little leniency, a little extra leniency. But other areas on Shabbos, we can't do that. But over here, we're not talking about Shabbos. We're talking about Nedarim. You're allowed to do that. Mace of Rabba, Rabba is still going to be bothered. Hamuda Hana Mechaveru. Someone is prohibited to another through an Eder. Ve'en lo mayochal. And right now, this person doesn't have anything to eat. So Shimon can't benefit from Reuven. And Reuven knows this. Right? Whoever made the Neder. Shimon made the Neder. Reuven made the Neder. Doesn't matter. We're at the point right now where Shimon cannot benefit from Reuven. And through a Neder. And Reuven knows this. And right now, Shimon has nothing to eat. So Yelech Eitzel Chanvani, Ragal Atzol, V'yamalo, Yishponi Muda Hanami Meni, V'ni Yodea Ma'eselo, Hu No Sein Lo, Uba No Tamizeh. Okay, so, the Mishnah in the Darim tells us, here's what you do. Here's what Reuven's going to do. Reuven's going to go to the local supermarket and say to him as follows. Look, my poor friend Shimon, he's got nothing to eat. I'd normally feed him, but he made an ender. I don't know what to do. You understand? Right? So he's telling the owner of the supermarket, look, you'll take care of Shimon, keep a tab, and then I'll come over later and I'll see the tab and okay, good. So Hachu Deshari Aval Kol Hazan Eino Mafsid Lo. So the Gemara says now there the hint in that scenario was very subtle. In fact, you'll see over there, there was simply no instruction whatsoever. The language is, I'm going to repeat the language. So, Ish Ploni Mudar Hanami Meni, Shimon can't get benefit from me. Eini Yodeh Ma'asalo, I don't know what to do. You noticed in that case? In that case over there, he gave zero instruction. And it was the owner of the supermarket who was expected to figure it all out. But had he said, Kol Hazan, no, that already creates too much of a connection. So the Gemara says, "Lomi bai kamar." The Gemara says, "No, let's not jump to that conclusion." Lomi bai a kol hazainin amafsid de la alma kamar aval hey kevin de ragelat slav ekazo kamar lei keman darmalei zil havle at dami kamash malan. Gemara says, "No, I'll tell you what's special about that case. What's special about that case is it happens to be that Reuven and the owner of the supermarket are ragelat slav. They know each other really well." And because they know each other really well, so Reuven doesn't have to do a lengthy introduction of, hey, you don't know me, but here's who I am, and let me just tell you the whole story about me and Shimon can't get benefit. Meaning, they know each other. And because they know each other, he doesn't even have to say anything. He walks in there, he says, Shimon can't get benefit from me. You know, one of our usual fights. And do me a favor. Or you don't even have to say, do me a favor. Right? Shimon can't even get benefit from me. Do I need to say anything more? Okay, got it. And then the store is, in other words, in that scenario, because Reuven and the store owner were so close, so it's like a shliach, and I might have thought that in that case, it's no good, and that's why the Mishnah has to go out of its way to tell me that even in that case, it's fine. Okay, gufa. We're on the very bottom now of Ayin Amud Beis. Hamuda Aname Chavero. We're going to go through the entire Braisa, and the Braisa is going to go through all these different types of scenarios where I can instruct somebody to benefit somebody because he can't get benefit from me. But again, we're going to drop hints. So three different scenarios in this Braisa. Number one, Hamuda Aname Chaver Ve'en Lo Mayocha Olech Efsu Chanvani Regal Etzlo V'Amalo Yisponi Muda Aname Meni Ve'en Yedeh Ma'asel Lo Hu No Sein Lo Ubao No Tamizeh. Okay. Case number one, we just went through. Shimon cannot get benefit from Reuven. Shimon needs to eat. Reuven goes to the store owner and says to him, Ma'esa, what am I supposed to do? And the store owner understands, oh yeah, good, I'll take care of it. Okay? And then later on, he'll go back to Reuven. Here's the bill. Good. That's case number one. Case number two. Beso livnos v'gidero ligdor v'sadeo ligzor holech etzal po'alim ha'regil l'naso v'omor la'em ishponi mudar na'mi meni v'ini yodeh ma'asel lo heino sinemo uvan v'not l'nschar mizah. Case number two. Shimon needs a house. Shimon needs his roof fixed. Shimon needs a fence. And meanwhile, the person who normally takes care of it is prohibited through Hana'a. So what do you do? So once again, so the roofer, the local roofer, says to his workers, look, I can't do it. You understand? He made an eder for me. He made an eder. He's not getting benefit from me. You take care of it, and later on, you'll come and see me. Good. Number three. So in case number three, it's the trickiest case because they're walking together, Reuven and Shimon. Shimon can't get benefit from Reuven. And there's nobody else here. And Reuven's got the food. And what's Reuven going to do? And Reuven can't give the food over to Shimon. So, nosin le'echad l'shum matan v'hala notav ochel umutar. I'm sorry. First, the Brisa dealt with a case where there was somebody else over there. So if there's somebody else over there, so Reuven gifts the food over to that third party, and the third party will then share with Shimon. Good. Sorry, I jumped the gun. V'im ein sham acher. Now, what if there is nobody else there? Minich agabe selo agabe hageder v'omer harehim uvkarin l'chom mishiyachbots. So then what Reuven's going to have to do is put the food on top of a fence or on top of a rock and say, they're hefker. Anyone who wants it could take it. V'halanot v'ochom umoter. Then Shimon will take the food and he'll eat the food. Because the food wasn't meant for him, it was meant for anybody. Right? Hint, hint, wink, wink. Rabbi Yossi says, no, I disagree. Now, seemingly he disagrees on this last case. I'm not sure if he disagrees on all three of these cases, but Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Amar Rava, my time into Rabbi Yossi, and now, what's behind the position of Rabbi Yossi? Gzera Mishom Maisa de Beis Charon. This is very similar to the case of Beis Charon. I'll tell you what, you'll forgive me. I'm not going to go through the entire case of Beis Charon. You see the Rashi says, wait till you get to Gemara Nedarim. We're going to wait till we get to the Gemara Nedarim. But basically, the case over there is where, again, similar circumstance. It was a wedding. There was a son. It was a grandfather. The grandfather and the father were at odds with one another. They made a neder against one another. And basically, the father was trying to come up with a way to allow his father to attend his son's wedding. I know that was a lot of pronouns. But anyway, I'm not going to go through the details right now. But over there, in that particular scenario, again, a subterfuge was used in order to allow the father to go to his own grandson's wedding. It was not good subterfuge. It was the wording over there was very problematic. And Rabbi Yossi says, Rav's explanation, Rabbi Yossi, is that this case is really similar to the case of Beis Charon. Okay. Anyway, answer to the question. How can the parnas feed your wife when she cannot get benefit from you? And isn't the parnas just your shliach? Answer is, he's not your shliach. You hinted, you intimated, and you didn't appoint him. And under those circumstances, it is not a violation of the neder.
Who's paying for the food?
Ultimately, the husband's going to pay. But it's not direct, it's indirect. And that successfully allows the husband to circumvent the neder. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer be Yisrael Chodesh Echad. Hainu Tanakama. Gemara makes over here just a very small point, and it's not a small point. I'm just saying it just addresses a very it's minutia within the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as the Tanakama. Again, we're still in case one of the Mishnah where the husband forbids his food to his wife. So for 30 days. We try to find a solution. After 30 days, a divorce is in order. And Rav Yehuda says, well, if the husband's Yisrael, then 30 days. Which is the same thing as the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda, Omer b'Yisrael Chodesh Echad, v'chulei. Hainu Tanakama, the Gemara says, it's the same thing as the Tanakama. Amar Abaye, Kohen Esas Elash Meinan. So Abaye says, point taken. The only thing that Rav Yehuda is coming to introduce us to is the idea that if the husband's a Kohen, 2 months. Which presumably the Tanakama does not agree with. Presumably. Rava says the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is super subtle. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda says Chodesh meaning a full month. Okay. Full month made up of, well, Tanakam says Ad Lamed Yom. Tanakhama says 30 days, and Rav Yehuda says a month, and presumably what he means by month is 29 days. Now, this always is a sticking point throughout the Gemara. Whenever we say the word Chodesh, Chodesh, of course, can be either 29 days or 30 days. And when we say Chodesh and it's it's undefined, is it default to 29 days or is it defaults from 30 days? From this short Gemara over here, it sounds like Chodesh defaults to 29 days. There are other places throughout the Gemara that Chodesh usually defaults to 30 days. See the second Tosfos, I'm not going to go through it right now. See the second Tosfos who has this discussion of where it normally defaults.
What about if it's just the Chodesh of that month, Adar, like 13 days?
Right, in other words, right, the remainder of that month.
Right.
Understood. Here, it's just a question of how long we're going to sustain this situation. So again, according to Rava, it's either going to be 29 days or 30 days. Okay, Amar Rav. This should sound familiar, as the Gemara made this point earlier. Let's say the neder did not have a limit. It was a limitless neder. In other words, the husband says, I am not going to feed you periodically. Or let me say it better. The food that I have is going to be usher to you indefinitely. So, according to Rav, if such a neder was made by the husband, we don't wait a month. In other words, an immediate divorce. In other words, it is just simply an unsustainable and untenable marriage, and it's going to cause for an immediate divorce. Yotzi l'altav yitink suva. Shmuel amar afil b'stam lo yotzi shem yimatzei pesach l'nedro. So Shmuel says, no, even if the neder was made indefinitely, we're still going to wait a month because there may be a chance for us to work it out. By working it out, I mean go to a chacham and allow him to find some sort of pesach, some sort of opening for the neder. The Gemara points out, you know, been here, done that before. Meaning, this machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, we saw this machlokus previously, fifth parakah, if I remember correctly. Did not relate to the Mishnah. Let's say a husband makes a prohibition against Tashmish Amita. Two weeks or 1 week machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Amarav, and on that Mishnah, Rav says machlokus ben mefarish. That's only if there is a time interval given to the neder. Avabastam yosin la'altav yitink suva. But if the neder was made indefinitely, Rav says that is an unsustainable marriage, and therefore it results in an immediate release from the marriage, immediate divorce. Shmuel amar afil b'stam nami lo yotzi shema yimatzei pesach l'nedro. According to Shmuel, no, let's wait. According to Beis Shammai, 2 weeks. According to Beis Hillel, 1 week, and hopefully we'll figure out a way. Rav and Shmuel are making the same point two times. Once here by Mizonos, once earlier by Tashmish Amita. The Gemara says, Tzricha. Yeah, and both points are necessary. Did marbe'ahi ba'hi kamar rab mishum delo efshar beparnas. You know, when it comes to Tashmish Amita, that's something that cannot be subcontracted. So as a result, thank you. As a result of that, so I might have thought in that case, Rob would say that's cause for an immediate divorce because you're the only one that can provide that to your wife. But over here, we're talking about food. Food can be subcontracted. Now, again, like the way we described earlier, meaning you're not going to appoint someone to give food, but you can hint to somebody. And conversely, I might have thought that Shmuel over here would allow the 1 month waiting period, because over here you can hit to somebody to feed your wife, but as opposed to Tashmish Amita, where no one else can provide that service, so I might think that Shmuel would agree to Rav Tzricha. That's why both cases are necessary. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. We move on to the case of fruit.